Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, Friday Night Lights fans. It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond is an episode-by-episode discussion of the hit TV series Friday Night Lights, hosted by yours truly, Scott Porter, who played Jason Street on the show, and my two wonderful co-hosts.
Me, Zach Guilford, a.k.a. Matt Saracen.
And me, Mae Whitman, a.k.a. someone who wasn't on the show, but really, really loves it a lot.
We will also bring on some special guests, answer your questions, and tell you about what's going on in our lives today.
It's Not Only Football. Friday Night Lights and Beyond is available now wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose!
Rolling. We're rolling right now. We're rolling here and we're rolling there and we're starting. Shut up.
And now it just feels forced and wrong. And don't tell me you're not feeling just as strange.
Hello, everybody. Hi. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 16, Kyle of the Desert. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, everybody. First up, Patreon news. There is no Again With This on March 31st because March has 5 Fridays, but episode 138 dropping April 7th. Happy birthday to my mother as we watch Daphne Zuniga's Family Ties debut. That is in an episode called Double Date, Season 2, Episode 17. It is on Paramount Plus. We will link it in the show notes. That episode also, spoiler, guest stars Jamie Gertz. It is prom-related. I'm very excited to talk about it.
Wow. Oh, Gertzy.
Yeah.
In the meantime, some Again With Them news. Again With Them for March will drop Thursday, March 30th. Again With Them is our monthly recap digest of Jenny and Tori's podcast, 90210MG, and it is a perk for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up. As we are recording this, only 2 episodes have dropped so far in March. An interview with Carrie Keene, who played Suzanne of the Scamily and who is way too nice to these dolts. And an All About Kelly Cullen episode with Jenny, Amy, and listeners. Oh, God, no. But we're sure there's much more baloney to come, so kick up that pledge to hear all about it and spare yourself from feeling that you have to listen to it yourself because you don't. And as we keep saying, this is of chief importance. You shouldn't.
No.
Do not. Listen to 90210MG yourselves.
That's right.
All of that and much more at againwiththispodcast.com/club.
Yes, I have not listened to the All About Kelly episode yet, but I did see on their Instagram that like the first clip is a caller asking her a question about a past star. And like, there was someone you and Larry Mullen said you both didn't like working with in season 7, one of your love interests. And she's like, oh, really? Who? Like, oh, great start. Let's have an All About episode with someone who famously does not remember things about the show, her character, or life.
Mm, yeah. Looking forward to having the birthday question settled. Not.
No. I'm it's an hour and 3 minutes and I'm scared of like how they fill that time. I truly am. But anyway, again, don't listen to it yourself. That's what you pay us for.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing, our next call-in episode is going to be dropping next Monday, April 3rd. You still have time to get your calls in, but hurry. You can reach us at 210-920-4699. Once again, 210-920-4699. Just program that straight into your phone and you can hit it anytime you want. You can also email voice memos or any messages you want us to read for you because you're too shy or self-conscious to call, we understand. Zero judgment. That is hello@againwiththispodcast.com for emails of those kinds and any others. So we hope to hear from you soon. We can't wait to play all your calls.
Yeah.
Let's get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Amanda and Kyle deal with health issues and Taylor is no help.
What?
I know. I know. Note on this plot line, there is some crossover with the A plot in that Peter's attention to Amanda is a source of contention for Lexi, but I kept that with the other doctor's stuff since it mostly happens without Amanda actually being involved. Now you know. So let's get into it. Asleep on chairs in the corner of Amanda's hospital room, Kyle tosses and turns, and we see he's dreaming about Desert Storm. In his dream, Nick, remember Nick, runs into an explosion. Kyle grabs him, but other than a slightly sore leg, it seems like Nick is apparently fine. And then in a later scene in this dream, Mulva from Seinfeld, here she is, Christine the Marine, is driving a Jeep toward them.
God, I just put that together. Christine the Marine.
Marine Christine.
Oh, show.
Yep.
Oh, you.
She's driving a Jeep toward them. She screams that she's coming and ignores Kyle's attempts to stop her. So she drives over a mine or an IED or something and blows herself up. In the present, Kyle is repeating Christine's name in his sleep when Amanda wakes him up. He says he was dreaming about the war, but when she asks who Christine is, he claims not to know and then sweatily steps into the hall while a trumpet tootles at his pain. And then Peter visits Amanda, who demands a no-bullshit assessment of her situation. She might be paralyzed, she might not, so same as last episode. She is not thrilled about the prospect of having to move out of her non-ADA-compliant apartment, although the other things that she says she will miss if she is paralyzed, including driving and dancing, are absolutely things that wheelchair users can do. Open your mind, show, and Amanda. Mm-hmm. Peter tells her that she just needs to change her attitude, I agree, and believe she can still live a normal life, and somehow this is not a comfort. And that night, Kyle is asleep at his place, having apparently had quite a lot of McBride scotch when he dreams about it. He spent $100 on the black market to get a bunch of weeds to cheer up Christine. Nick doesn't seem psyched about it because she died. And Kyle sobs that he loved her so much and wakes up sweaty and crying. And downstairs, Taylor's on her way to bed when she sees Kyle on his way through the courtyard and go down to the apparently wildly unsafe laundry room that is lit by a single dangling bulb under the stairs. Like, there's no evidence there's a light you can hit at the top of the stairs. Amanda, no. Worry about this. About your complex.
Really?
Jesus.
Good Lord.
He drags out a cardboard barrel and unlocks the footlocker under it that he absolutely has room for in his apartment and flips through snapshots of himself and Nick with Christine, whispering her name. And Taylor creeps to the top of the stairs and looks down on Kyle in his man pain. And the next day, Amanda's asleep when Taylor looks both ways before letting herself into Amanda's hospital room. Taylor is peering at her when Amanda opens her eyes and for some reason scares Taylor enough to make her jump. And we hear this, clip two.
God, I mean, the way you were lying there. You're not going to die, are you?
Jeez. Taylor.
I mean, having now seen Rinna a little bit on Housewives, I feel like this is not incongruent with what she would say in real life visiting someone in a similar situation in the hospital.
Yeah, no, it's a definite Violet from Willy Wonka vibes sometimes with this one, and I don't think it's acting.
No, so, no.
Yeah.
So Amanda snits that she's probably not going to die and then is like, why are you here? And Taylor unconvincingly claims she was concerned for Amanda's health and then admits it's more about Kyle. He's not sleeping or eating or handling anything at work. And Amanda knows she finally sent him home last night. And Taylor tells an abridged version of seeing him in the courtyard looking like a ghost. And for some reason, Amanda voluntarily tells Taylor, her mortal and romantic enemy, that he has been dreaming about the war. And he had those dreams when he was with Taylor, too. But she claims she never heard him say Christine's name. The only name he ever said then was Taylor's. And then does a bad and gross imitation of Kyle's sex groans before Amanda's like, get out. And based on Taylor's reaction in the hall, it does seem like the Christine piece of the puzzle is actually new to her. And that was not just being a dick. And when we see Taylor next, it's nighttime and Taylor's broken into Kyle's footlocker to go through his shit, which this, of course, being the reason it's in a shared public space, I get it. But according to the back of one photo, Nick, Kyle, and Christine, the Marine, were the Three Musketeers, more literally in this case than the way the phrase is usually used colloquially, since, you know, they did have guns. And the next morning, Taylor's swimming laps when Kyle comes out. She asks him to please come by Kyle's today. And he is vague, so presumably he's going back to the hospital. But once again, he's in a suit. And I would just like to give thanks for being alive in a time of fashion athleisure. Because if this episode were happening now and Kyle was on his way to sit in a chair all day, he would at least be in, like, Adidas track pants or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely.
Why are you in a suit? For whom? But anyway, he suggests that Taylor hire help at the restaurant. She would if she could find someone she could trust. Also, I'm not sure you can afford it given recent events, but sure. She says, it's too bad Kyle doesn't have more friends there, like Nick, whom she hated, but he was loyal as a sheepdog. According to Kyle, he is in Dallas. But if she hired him, it would be over Kyle's dead body. And she flirtatiously salutes, and he kind of chuckles, and it seems like what she's doing is maybe working, kind of. Over the hospital, where Peter's yelling at Amanda for booking herself in at a PT rehab clinic in Salt Lake City behind his back. Unrepentantly, she says his estimates for her recovery have not panned out. She doesn't want Kyle wasting more of his life attending to her, so she's going to slip away to handle things herself. And Peter accuses her of running from her relationship, which is an insensitive choice of word under the circumstances. And Amanda says Kyle still has a chance with Taylor and that his life would be better with her than with a paralyzed Amanda. Hard disagree. And Peter should say so, too, since he knows.
Yeah, seriously.
Peter's like, we'll see what Kyle has to say about this. And Amanda's like, no, we won't, because you will not tell him. And Peter calls her a coward. And the next time we see Kyle, Peter is totally snitching to him about Amanda's plans. Kyle was afraid something like this would happen, and he runs out immediately, arriving at the hospital, not just in time because Amanda's just on her way to get an x-ray, but he pushes her back to her room, proclaiming his devotion no matter what may lie ahead, and suddenly blurts a proposal, and she accepts tearfully and fine, I guess. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't either.
And that night, Taylor stops by Amanda's room, clip 3.
Hey, I just thought I'd stop by and say wow. Congrats on your upcoming nuptials.
Okay. Low-key idiot test, but that pronunciation of the word, you know, it's like nuclear, but for marriage, like, it's not nuptials. Sorry.
I just want to bump in with a production note. There's somebody nearby with a leaf blower. So that's just going to be part of the ambiance.
Sorry.
Yeah, that buzzing noise is not actually poop. It's an actual machine.
So Taylor then tries to break up the engagement by telling Amanda what Kyle was doing and where when Amanda's helicopter crashed. But he already told her off screen. This is one of the worser off screen conversations to happen off screen. Like, even though we said in our last episode, Amanda probably would not care because of the previous courtyard evidence of fucking several episodes ago. But still, like, we deserve the chance to see what her reaction actually was, especially if it was like, yeah, I know, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah. And either this is like it's now the sixth season of a show and the credits slash B-roll are so bloated that scenes we actually need for informational purposes are getting cut.
Right.
Or, this scene has to have Locklear in it and she doesn't, like, we're doing the bare minimum with her.
Right.
I doubt they even shot it, which is so dumb, but.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't shoot it, but like, if his whole thing in the last episode was like, you better not tell her or we're over. And then he just suddenly decided, okay, never mind. I'm going to tell her, like, just because he proposed, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, or this is going nowhere fast. I guess we'll see. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Everyone deserves one great love in life. Amanda's sorry that Taylor isn't Kyle's, but that's just too damn bad. And Taylor storms out straight to a payphone to call Nick in Dallas, whose number she has, I guess. He is the only person who can help her. Clip four.
All right, who's Christine? Look, I know you were all in the Gulf War together. Well, Kyle's having these nightmares. Nick, are you still there? Nick, who is she, and what was she to Kyle?
What you could never be, Taylor.
What, the love of his life?
Trust me, you don't want to know.
I mean, whatever. Like, I know that this is just a TV trope, but she called you?
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know. Just
right.
Tell her.
Yeah.
You hate her. You should want her to be unhappy.
Yeah. Seriously.
If she doesn't want to know, all the more reason to dump it on her, but it's the end of the episode and this is a soap, so nope.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
On to our A-plot. Doctors and their partners are making moves, romantic and strategic. Coop wakes up in the middle of the night at his place, so they finally figured that out, to find Megan standing at the open window pretending to think. This is so fucking stupid. She feels like she's missed out on the excitement of a new dating relationship for her entire life. Coop has no problem seducing women, but he's never really courted someone either, so they're going to start over and
kind
make
this... Kind of hard when they're in a coma.
Yeah, I also don't like... Okay, so they're going to start over and make this a real romance with whatever, going through all of the societally accepted steps. Who cares? But also, like, I don't quite believe that if we're supposed to think Lexi was, like, a princess of some rich Ohio family, that he didn't have to go through some kind of, like, baloney with her.
Yeah. He absolutely did, unless he met her at a sleep clinic, which I guess is not impossible.
It's true.
Sigh. Yeah, this reminds me of Dana's dating plan on Sports
totally.
Night. Thanks, I hate
mm-hmm.
it.
After the credits and some B-roll of street art, we're at the practice. Apparently, Coop has just given Megan flowers, but we abruptly get Michael walking in and being bitchy slash misogynistic at them while they ignore him. And he is just crossing through to his office so that he can call Amber rudely in the morning when he obviously knows she works nights, which is basically what she says when she picks up. And please go to the visual aids to see her room, a late 90s time capsule that could go like straight into the Smithsonian. There's a tie-dye sheet on the wall behind the bed with like a big peace sign, I think. A lava lamp on the wicker nightstand right in front of a brass moon and decorative fan on the wall. It's like, I appreciate the thought they put into it because this is the room that this character would have for sure.
Pier 1.
Not even. It's like Pier 1, absolutely. Someone left on the curb that she like curb dove for, whatever. Michael's like, oops, but anyway, let's go out. She curtly says he has her hours at the club. Once again, I refuse to believe Michael Mancini has any illusions about how this shit works, but we're supposed to believe he does as he invites her to dinner at his place and she accepts. And Peter's just finished giving Amanda her no update update when Bob appears. in the hall, Bob lets Peter know he's recovered a bunch of memories about the hit and run. The only thing that doesn't jibe is that he was hit by a red car and Lexi's car is silver, but he keyed it, and what do you know? And everything he's gotten from Lexi, and to a lesser extent Peter, was tainted because they felt guilty. Clip 5.
Okay, what do you want?
Well, now, I've thought about that. What I want is for you to break up with Lexi, so I can have her for myself.
You blackmailing me, Bob?
I guess I am. I guess that's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, so this is what it feels like to be blackmailed.
Well, listen, if you want to keep this hoity-toity job, you just better do what I say. I mean, I don't have much patience left. Maybe not any patience. You just get out of her life or I mess up yours. Understand?
I don't understand Peter being like, so this is what it feels like to be blackmailed. Surely he's been blackmailed before.
Yeah. Like, you're on a soap, buddy. I was sort of distracted during this part of the episode because it had been driving me nuts for weeks now who Bob reminded me of, and I know he was Lenny.
Yeah.
But because he presents, like, as Lenny, he seemed a lot taller.
Yeah.
And his whole, like, styles and being sort of shorter and schleppy in this role were throwing me off. But in this role, he reminds me of Michael Rispoli.
Yes, he does. I can see it.
And once I figured that out, I was just like, my notes are all like exclamation points and like verbal patting myself in the back for figuring out that it was Jackie Senior slash like you just saw your first Trans Am guy from while you were sleeping. So that was my contribution to this scene. Mm-hmm. But also like Jack Wagner is just being kind of like he's pre- tipping the audience that this is not necessarily a big deal, which is an interesting choice.
It is. Yeah. So that night, Michael has fakey Italian accordion music on and a straw-covered Chianti bottle on the kitchen countertop. Jesus. You see the visual aids.
Volare! Jesus Christ.
When Amber arrives, apparently having gotten someone to cover her shift on like 5 hours notice, and while she looks around frozen, he starts lecturing her about Italian cooking until she blurts that this feels wrong. At the club, they tell you not to get involved with customers, and now she knows why, so she's out! And the next day, Bob brings Lexi a cup of coffee on the deck. She exposits that Peter was at the hospital all night and has just finished whining about him spending too much time with Amanda when Peter himself rolls in and Lexi has no compunction about picking a fight with him in front of Bob. Clip 6.
There's been 8 million emergencies last night. Gotta be a full moon.
Just admit it. You were with Amanda all night, weren't you?
Look, you're not gonna start getting jealous.
What do you expect? Wait, let me guess. Amanda sent Kyle home so you two could, what, reminisce about the past? Hold hands? Hell, you two are probably on the verge of kissing and making up.
That's enough. Now, you're way off base with this.
Oh.
This is a waste of time. I'm showering, changing, and going back to the hospital.
What am I supposed to do?
Don't worry. Everything's gonna be okay. It'll work out just fine.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob. You are really, no spoilers, but getting out over your skis. Speaking of picking fights, at their place, Sam and Billy bicker about a campaign they're working on without any input from Amanda since, you know, broken back. When Billy's condescending to Sam about her instincts in the advertising industry, she storms out and runs into Jennifer, who's sitting with her feet in the pool. Wow, the honeymoon really did not last for the whole almost died slash rescue story that was in the previous episode, but fine.
Yeah.
Jennifer comments that she didn't think Sam and Billy ever fought, but Sam thinks they might be spending too much time together. Again, that's rough stuff, given recent events. And Jennifer takes the opportunity to complain about Craig, who keeps lying to her and pushing her away. So Sam should appreciate how great Billy is and go make up with him right now. And this presupposes a world where Billy and Craig are the only two romantic prospects available. But sure. Yeah, over to
Connie
the hospital.
Connie just left town. I'm sure you could catch her. She's probably still at LAX. Come on.
That's true. Over to the hospital, Bob runs into Lexi, who's there basically to get in Peter's face about the time he's been spending with Amanda. Bob trails behind when Lexi finds Peter alone in Amanda's room, and the little table that slides over the bed is set for dinner, complete with candles, which cannot possibly be okay in a hospital room.
No.
And,
no.
And a linen tablecloth. And even though Amanda's not there, Lexi goes ahead and confronts him. Clip 7.
Working hard, I see. Yeah, candles, flowers. What do you spoon feed her to?
I had a surgery that was canceled, and I thought that Amanda could use a little cheering up.
You still love her, don't you? And don't lie to me, because I'll know. See, I've had a lot of experience with doctors who fall in love with their patients. Now, Coop had this coma thing. Maybe you have a handicap thing.
All right, it's true. I love her. I never stopped loving her. I'm sorry.
You go to hell.
Bob, you win. She's all yours.
I mean, where's the lie in any of this on Peter's side, first
right.
of all?
Yes.
And second of all, what is with the emphasis?
Oh, yes. Working hard, I see. No, working hard, I see, is how you say that on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You go to hell, Spithers. I want you to turn me on. So boring.
Well, that escalated quickly, but Bob didn't have to be told twice and races out to comfort Lexi, in the course of which they pass Coop, who snidely comments on Lexi going through men like Tic Tacs. Mind your own business, dude.
Mm.
Coop then does the 500th version of "Sorry I was a dick to you, let's try to get along as professionals" thing to Michael, adding the part about his new courtship bullshit with Megan. That is going so well for him. He wants to try the friendship version with Michael. They could have a drink. And Michael says this, clip 8.
Sorry, I got other plans. Oh, and by the way, I know what you're doing here. You're trying to find out what's really going on in my new relationship.
Oh, so there is someone.
Yeah, there is, Coop. I'm dating Madonna.
They could both do worse, honestly.
My God, so much worse.
She has, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A nurse behind him invites Coop to come out with her and some other staffers, but his plans just changed. A cut to the club, where Amber, fully in boy shorts, by the way, takes the stage. And you're seeing this in the visual aids. Taylor is less dressed than this when we see her in the pool in a very similar leopard print bikini. Like, I know she's partly obscured by the water, but still, there's way more leg on Rinna than on this lady.
Yeah, I do not think Amber had to wax at any point in this story arc.
Nope. So when Amber gets off the stage, Michael shoves a bill at her, orders 5 table dances. Looking bored, she gets to work while he lectures that he's bad at relationships, but if he's willing to take a risk, she should be too. Clip 9.
It's more complicated than that.
Yeah, sure, I know. You're embarrassed by what you do, but I happen to think it's a fine occupation. I mean, you provide a service, a recreation.
Where is this going, Michael?
I want to start over. You know, last night was too quick. We should take it slow. So I thought maybe I'll take you out on a date. A first date. And we can go to a place where my friends hang out.
You don't get it, do you? This isn't about whether or not you're embarrassed. This is about me being embarrassed. And maybe a little insecure. I don't want people, your friends, the people you work with, to look down on me.
Amber, I don't give a damn what they think.
You say that now.
I'm asking you out, Amber. It's nothing more than that.
You idiot. That's the whole point. It's everything to me.
So then we're on for tomorrow night? I'll pick you up at 8. Now hurry up. Take off your top before your boss gets suspicious.
Okay. I mean, I realize Amber doesn't watch the show, but I wish she could so that she could see what Michael actually thinks of people in a sex work adjacent career. and the many shitty things he has said to Megan over the episodes since they have met.
Yeah. I also wish someone would direct this actress as to what her game is supposed to be, because this is like the Andrew Hsu school of, I'm not all that good at this, so it's going to have to pass as ambiguity. But it's also like, if there's no game here, like if this isn't a coup setup and or she's not 16.
Right.
Why is it being acted this way? And why is it even here? Like, mm-hmm. why are we doing this again with Michael? Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, and he's going to mention Jane later in this episode, which we will hear, but I feel like this is like a bridge to Josie Bassett coming back, but I didn't look up to see how soon that happens.
Okay.
So, I've certainly been wrong about these timelines before. See me guessing when people are pregnant and being completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Well. Cut to the doorway as Coop pokes his head in and sees Michael and Amber. And I'm pretty sure that strip clubs have security guards so that looky-loos can't do exactly this and see mm-hmm. tits for free.
Slash get into the dressing room and harass the dancers.
Mm-hmm. But you can see this, because I made a GIF, it's in the visual aids, but you can see Amber, like, starting to do her dance, and, like, she completely mimes taking off her bra without actually doing it, which is, like, very funny, because she couldn't think of any choreography to do that would be credible, so she just does the obvious thing that they can't show. It's very funny. Then Megan and her microfiber separates, because it's 1998, show up the next morning at Coop's place with coffee. You can see those in the visual aids, too. Brown on brown.
Mm-hmm.
Flustered, she admits that while this courtship thing is great, she got paranoid last night when she couldn't reach him. Which, like, this doctor does not have a cell phone? Okay. He lies that he went for a burger alone and regrets not sitting by the phone waiting for her call. She's embarrassed, but he thinks it's cute, and they annoyingly make out. In other words, they make out the same way they do everything, annoyingly.
Yeah.
That night, Lexi summons Bob to meet her in her car, which, if I'm Bob, that's one place I don't want to be, but sure.
Better in it than under it.
True, good point.
Probably safer.
True. She just feels alone, like nobody cares. But he does. It has killed Bob to see how Peter treats Lexi. She leans toward him, and he leans toward her, and she's sort of making it seem like they're about to kiss. But then, clip 10.
Wait. Before we go any further, there's something that I have to tell you. Oh, this is so hard, but Bob, it was me. I was the one that hit you with my car. At first, Peter and I didn't know what I hit. I mean, we stopped the car and we looked around, but I didn't see anything. I know I should have told you right away when I knew it was you, but Peter wouldn't let me.
Forget it. It doesn't matter. It's all in the past.
No, we can't just sweep this thing under the rug.
But I'm telling you, I don't care. I'm forgiving you.
Well, fine, Bob, but what if I can't forgive myself? Look, I may have a solution. I'm gonna do what Peter wouldn't let me do. I'm gonna go to the police and I'm gonna confess everything.
But they'll put you in jail and I'll lose you.
Not if you come forward too. Bob, I've thought about this. If you tell the truth, that I hit you with my car, but I stopped my car, and I got out, and I looked around, but I didn't see anything because you were hiding.
It won't be hit and run. And if I don't press charges...
Then we can all move on with our lives. Together.
What are we waiting for? Let's go.
At least
Bob.
Get a wristy out of it before you commit to this plan, Bob. Come on. This is your first day.
He is just so out of his league. Like, it's actually sad.
It is. If you're being outfoxed by her. Oh, honey.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Yeah.
over to the jazz club where Megan and Coop are dancing annoyingly. When Michael and Amber walk in, Megan is like, oh no. And Coop is in the process of telling her to be positive when Michael, really feeling himself, walks right over to introduce Amber. There aren't any tables, so can they join Coop and Megan? Ignoring Megan's absolutely not face, Coop says yes. And clip 11.
So, Amber, how did the two of you meet?
Oh, Megan, you're going to love this. Amber's...
A dental hygienist.
A related profession. Well, what do you know?
Yeah. We met while I was cleaning his teeth. Isn't that wild? Wild is not the word. Michael, I feel like dancing. I love this song.
What, me? Really? I didn't intend to make you jealous, but I do like the effect this is having.
Aw. She's 18 if she is a year. Look at that dress she's wearing. She looks like a call girl.
Oh, no. No, no more yes. Hookers. I learned my lesson with you.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's plenty. Yeah, too much bubbly makes me crazy. Totally out of control.
Well, we wouldn't want that, would we? I mean, especially now that you're involved with a doctor. We doctors hate to be embarrassed.
Oh, God. This is so stupid.
So she's underage. Got it.
I guess. I don't know. I haven't looked ahead to see what happens with her.
But... I haven't either. I mean, technically I did so that I could write the next ons, but shit moves so glacially that it's like, it's hard to really say where they're going. It'll be in episode 48 before this finally comes to a resolution.
Yeah.
So... Also, Coop and Megan together are moop. Just making that observation.
Back to the dance floor where Megan spins off to the can and Jennifer storms up to yell at Michael, clip 12.
Another tramp? Have you gone bat guano? I mean, this must be some kind of total blind spot with you. I mean, a pair of perky breasts and a tight bottom and you go catatonic.
Hey, men have needs. Some women are great at fulfilling them, okay?
Yeah, well, one look at that woman and you could tell that she is a brainless bimbo.
Yeah, well, maybe brainless is what I need right now. Did you ever think of that?
Amber overheard.
Amber.
Stay away from me.
Amber, please. Look, I...
Well, you win some and you lose some.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the last time I won one.
See your point.
I mean, it's true that Michael has actually not even gotten anything off of Amber yet. They've kissed. That's it.
Yeah.
But... I don't understand the Jennifer outburst. First of all, I would not think that they were necessarily even speaking after what happened at Glovco is A.
Mm.
And B, when she's like...
That's your roommate.
Right. Another tramp. Is Megan the first tramp that she's referring to? Because in the last episode, she was the one telling Coop, like, if you hurt her, she deserves the world. I'll hurt you or whatever. And now she's just another tramp. Okay. What?
I don't know.
I don't either. Back
like,
to the
find something for Alyssa Milano to do that is not this like repetitive shit or shit that's out of character or one line an episode that we don't need to bring us up to speed. That does nothing.
Yeah.
Like maybe just give her the scenes and plots that Megan has because Megan's a fucking bore.
Yeah.
Not happening, I suspect.
No. Back to the condo. Bob and Lexi are giddy. They did it! Clip 13.
We've given our statements to the police, and no charges will ever be filed. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna make tonight the first night of the rest of our lives. We're free of my accident, the secrets, Peter.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know, you two got home so quickly, I didn't have a chance to put this on ice.
I don't understand. You two broke up. You moved out.
Oh, is that how it looked? Wait. Of course that's how it looked, because that's the way we wanted it to look.
You shouldn't have blackmailed Peter. That was your big mistake.
You can't do this. I can still go back to the police.
And tell them what? That you lied? That it really wasn't an accident? That you're pressing charges instead of not pressing charges? No. Bob, that's perjury. You'll be the one who's in trouble.
Because it was an accident. We did stop, and we did feel badly, but you had to go and get all greedy.
I almost forgot. Here. Here's a $2,000 check to start your life over somewhere else.
But I loved you.
I know. I'm sorry I had to use that against you, but that's what happens when you delude yourself and try to hurt people.
Wait, me? Who'd I hurt? I was just minding my own business in an alley, and two rich bastards run me down. You know what? You should just let me lie there and die there. I was way better off before I met you two. Go to hell, both of you. Well.
Not great, Bob. Sorry. But, I mean, dude. Like I said.
The greatest indignity is that they don't even show, like, we heard him going out and closing the door behind him. They don't show it. Like, you just hear it and the camera is still on Lexi and Peter, which is like, this is what a non-person this character was to this plot line, which, like, Lexi's whole reframing of, like, we did feel badly, which you didn't, you felt bad. But you didn't. Really, you tried to cover it up.
Like, yeah.
You know, like, okay, maybe you did feel guilty, but you still didn't actually do the right thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. Once Bob has gone, Lexi apologizes to Peter for the slap in the earlier scene, but Peter was just so convincing. He doesn't really still have feelings for Amanda, does he? And Peter just says, not the kind she has to worry about. So, not no.
Yeah, what?
So they kiss, but she has doubts. And the next night, they are fucking when they hear noises outside and then a knock. And Peter assumes Bob is back, perhaps to say, I don't have a bank account, please give me cash instead. But in fact, it is Lexi's daddy in town on business, unannounced. His name is Thomas. He is played by vintage heartthrob Chad Everett. Peter introduces himself, grinning, and things seem great as Lexi chirps upstairs to change, but clip 14.
Well, what a surprise. You showing up like this out of the blue?
Son. If you think I'm ever going to like you, you're sorely mistaken.
Well, you can't always go on first impressions.
I always do. And I'm never wrong.
Can't wait to hear what you thought of Coop then.
Cause... Well, yeah. And then we're at the club that night. Amber's just trying to do her fucking job when Michael bursts in and accosts her on stage. Clip 15.
Get out of here!
No, you leave me no choice when you keep running off on me. Now, you think I'm embarrassed by all this, but I'm not. I think you're a wonderful woman.
Now, you think I'm brainless, remember?
I didn't say that, okay? Look, I just hadn't worked it out in my head yet. I mean... there's my ex-wife and your resemblance tour, and I don't know, maybe I'm doing some weird copycat ritual.
Hey,
no.
Come down from here!
Hey!
Michael fights off a security guard with a spoon.
No, I'm not gonna let it end!
In 2 seconds, this guy is going to kill you. He's security.
And you come with me?
What?
Move in with me. Let me take care of you. We can work it out together.
You can't be serious.
You don't have to do this, Amber! All you have to do is quit and come with me to a place much better than any of this!
All right, don't hurt him. I quit, okay? I'm leaving with the guy. This is insane, you know?
Yeah. Romantic as hell, you gotta admit.
I love this.
Bye.
This does make for some excellent gifts, which you can see in the visual aids. As I mentioned, Michael fighting off the security guard with a stool like he's a friggin' lion tamer. And then being like pulled away in the arms of several henchmen while he's begging Amber to quit. And then after she does, it's like a full officer and a gentleman.
Sure is.
Departure from the club. Again, we've just the show has learned absolutely nothing about portraying sex work of any kind since the introduction of Megan's character. This is still really bad and retrograde, and she is not interesting enough to make this work. God bless Thomas Calabro. He's doing his best. But, like, the fundamental problem, as I have kept saying, is, like, he would know how shit goes at a strip club. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He just would.
Yeah. Also, we've been here before with Sydney.
That, too. It was brief. But, yes, we have. And yeah. Jennifer. She worked in a strip club, too. She just never actually stripped. So, that is where we leave things for today. Let us close up by naming our episode MVP. I'm going to say Thomas, Lexi's father, who makes a pretty great first impression on me, gotta say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with Nick.
Sure.
Seemed actively drunk still and hung up on Taylor, who amongst us, etc.
Least valuable player. I mean, I can't say Billy because he was only in one scene. Or can I?
I mean, I think you should. I'm going with not great Bob because Bob.
Oh, Bob. Just punching above his weight in every possible way. You hate to see it.
From the dawn of a mafia family to this. What a come down. Next time on Again With This, Jennifer finds out Craig's cutting corners, Taylor finds out more about Christine the Marine, and we're all hoping to find out that the writers have a plan with this Amber nonsense, but we're not holding our breath. You, meanwhile, should hold your nose when you're checking out our visual aids. You could find those for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. And you can call or text us 210-920-4699. And don't forget to check out our club page. There is a ton of extra 90210 and Melrose content for Patreon supporters. And you can hang out with us / your fellow listeners on our dedicated Discord. It is a snap to set up. We would love to have you along. Again with this podcast.com/club for more information. I am neither officer nor gentleman, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is a nice Chianti, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is forgiving us. Talk to you next time.
Sorry, I got other plans.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.